Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately tonight's episode of Horror for Dummies isn't the best sounding quality that we'd like to give you due to the fact that someone forgot to put it onto the actual microphone. I'm not going to name names, but it was Ben. So for that, we apologise. It's still a full-length show, just the audio quality isn't as good as we'd like to. We'll be back next week with better quality. If Ben doesn't fuck it up again. Thanks a lot, Ben.
I'll let you know before you try to go. Now this is my own show. Not a script or flip can make me stop, so just behave. I mean, there's no escape. Let's hope you make that drop, because you really don't want to tick me off. And oh, what fun. I will tell you what to do and you will get it done. And oh, don't run. You'll find your nightmare here has only just begun. Welcome to my horror show.
For Dummies is taking over your airwaves. With me today is the dumbest of the dumb. They call him Shanks Hannigan, but he prefers to be known as Ben.
That's my name. Who is this guy? Why is he stealing my name?
He's you.
Oh shit, right. I see what you did there. That was clever.
Welcome to Horror for Dummies episode Lucky 13.
13-1-3.
Yep, we made it to 13. Statistics shows that podcasts don't make it to the sixth episode.
Really?
So
we've done double that and then some. Yeah. Get that up, your statistics.
So we're going pretty good.
Yeah, I like to think so.
Let's do 100 more.
All right. Right now. This is going to be our longest podcast ever. It's going to be 100 in one.
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, Christmas is cancelled, Tim.
All right, fuck Christmas. All right, before we start, this show has been brought to you by the Padded Room Podcast. Check them out, us out, and Cake Wolf's Happy Hour at paddedroom.podbean.com. Benjamin!
Timothy!
We have got a hell of a show ready for you people.
That we do.
Yes, that we do. Shall we kick it off?
I believe we shall, my friend.
Okay. Listener mail.
Or female, you know, whatever you are.
Listener mail.
Our first message, we actually have a full message bag today. A full one. Guess who our first one and two messages is?
I'm guessing it would be one, Alan Cha-Cha.
Yeah.
Or as he prefers to be called, Alan! Alan Cha-Cha!
That's right. We're not going further until you do it.
All right, well, I did it. Hey, come on, I wouldn't let Alan down like that.
Alan, our most, what would you call him? Our co-host, beloved. Yeah, well, our co-host.
I think we already established that.
That's right. Cha-cha. All right. Alan comes in with, do you all like H.P. Lovecraft? Do you?
I don't even know what that is.
Who that is?
Well, there you go. See, I didn't know that.
All right. It's time to educate Benjamin. So, H.P. Lovecraft is an American writer from the early 1900s. He did such stories as The Call to Cthulhu. Yeah, The Call of Cthulhu.
Yes.
You know that title.
I'm well aware of that title.
At the Mountains of Madness, among many other. He influenced a lot of writers that you would know of, like Stephen King, but also influenced other directors, Carpenter, Stewart, Gordon, Del Toro, among many. So he's well known in the horror universe. To answer your question, Alan, I'm not much of a reader. But, in saying that, I
do like his influenced work from, like, The Mist. I love The Mist, things like that. So, in a way, I am. I've never actually read Lovecraft's stuff. So, yes and no, I guess. He also says... What?
Yes and no. Well, that's a satisfying answer.
Sorry, Alan.
Yes, no, I don't know. Sandwich.
Shit.
Half sandwich.
If you could mash up any horror film and any non-horror film, what would they be? I would love to see something like The Expendables versus The Hills Have Eyes or Terminator versus Jason.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre and My Little Pony.
Well, that's just going to be a quick movie.
Yeah, but fuck, it'd be funny.
Okay, so the Terminator versus Jason one would be fucking sick.
That would be
Terminator versus Predator.
Which... Yeah, but I feel like that's a little too close to Predator, as it were.
Yeah, true, that's true. So I came up with a few. As many of you may know, I'm not the biggest Marvel fan.
I've been working on him for a while, and it's just getting nowhere.
Well, there won't be a... Marvel for Dummies.
What about English for Dummies?
Shut up. So here's a few that I came up with. Batman versus Pinhead. I mean, they both wear leather, so why not?
Yeah, fair enough.
And I would really like to see Batman die, because I don't see a way Batman winning this match. Sorry, brother.
Yeah.
He's a demon from hell.
Yeah, good call.
Gollum versus Leprechaun.
Gollum versus the Leprechaun. That'd be sick.
How funny would it be?
That would be so good.
Can you just imagine, like, the Leprechaun's looking for his gold, and Gollum's just like, my precious. And then Leprechaun's like, give me my pot of gold. They're just fighting over the precious, i.e. the pot of gold. Boy. Fucking hell, I just made a fucking movie script.
Good lord, Timothy. Copyright that shit.
Yeah, don't you steal it, motherfuckers. Chucky versus Buzz Lightyear.
Whoa. Is there a guest interference by Woody?
Yeah, I guess he can come. Woody can be killed. Because he's like, I see him as like a fluffy toy. Like, the knife can penetrate him. While Buzz Lightyear is all plastic. It's going to take a few stabs for the knife to get through.
That's true.
Yeah. Plus, he can fly with style.
That's true. Well, technically, it's falling with style.
That's right. Yeah, falling with style. Darth Vader versus Jason.
Vader.
You reckon Vader would win?
Vader would definitely win. He would just, like, force push the shit out of Jason, slash him up with lightsaber in 2 seconds.
What about the force push?
Never forget about the force push.
So I don't know enough.
Especially if Vader has the higher ground. As soon as he has the higher ground, that's it. Game over. We all know that. That's
true. But then, if you blow up Jason, or cut him up to pieces, if you watch Jason Goes to Hell, he makes you eat his heart, and then you become Jason. You imagine Jason Darth Vader?
But Vader's wearing a big helmet. He doesn't have a mouth. I mean, if he takes his helmet off, he does, but...
Then how does he eat?
Doesn't.
What is he?
He's just a rag.
I don't know enough of Star Wars to... But, like, no. Is he human, or is he, like, a robot?
No, he's human. Well, he's half and half now. He's a human to start with, but then he had a horrible accident in a big lake of fire.
Oh, okay. So he's basically Freddy under the mask.
Yeah, kind of.
Cool. Freddy Robot.
Hmm.
Freddy Cop. Alright, the last one I've got. The last one I got is Pennywise from It versus the Trench Bull from Matilda. Like, good luck trying to make her float.
even Pennywise can't escape the chokey.
Or, that's a good point. You have a good point right there. Alright, so out of those. Oh, actually, another one. This is more of a serious one, actually. Blade versus Dracula.
Have you not seen Blade Trinity?
Oh, fucking ages ago. I can't remember it, though.
That's exactly what that movie is.
Is it? Is it Dracula?
Yeah.
Well, I need to rewatch that.
You can't just say things that are already movies.
All right, but I mean the original... What about
Freddy vs. Jason?
No. If they make it good, yeah.
Yeah, starring Kelly Rowland.
Oh, no. No, I was thinking of Kelly Osbourne for a second. I was like, that wouldn't... Oh, no, I know what you mean. Alan comes in again and goes, and a comment. In the Thing video game, it is revealed that MacReady survived and the game is endorsed by John Carpenter.
That's true. I did read about that.
Did you now?
Yes.
Oh, you're doing some studying.
No, I just read that comment when Alan wrote it.
Oh. Fuck, you're good. All right, well, that's it from Alan. Thank you, Alan. Now we're coming in with James Moho. He asks, why does Ben hate me?
I don't hate you, Moho. You know that.
I hate Moho.
Why do you ask such hurtful questions? Never question our love.
Moho keeps asking me to review Wallace and Gromit, so you can fuck off.
Maybe we can do a guest appearance with Moho.
No, he's not coming on. I won't hear. He won't talk about the movie. We'll just talk about Wallace and Gromit.
Don't worry, Moho. Tim's only half of the show. I'll make it happen.
All right, we got someone in called Amy Field. She sounds familiar.
Who's that?
Oh,
snap.
She says, tell Ben his wife is hot.
Yeah.
If you didn't get that, that's his wife telling Ben that. Thanks, Amy.
I was wondering how much more you were going to stagger that explanation.
On that note, we have another person from your family, Beck Rocher.
Ah, yes.
Who's your sister-in-law.
That's right, me and Beck, Team B.
Team B.
Team B, what's up?
So she asks, what horror character is your spirit animal? This one's easy for me, but I'll let you go first. I feel like, I want to hear what you got, but yours and mine was pretty much going to be the same answer.
Jason?
No.
What, who would you say?
Leatherface.
Yeah, okay, that's pretty cool.
He's a butcher. Cool.
That's true. Valid point. I didn't even take that into account.
Yeah.
I guess it's decided for us.
Yeah, and we like power tools.
That's true.
We like cutting people's faces off and wearing them.
Constantly.
Yep.
That's how we both ended up looking the same.
All right, Beck comes in again. If you were to star in your own horror movie, who would you want to direct it? I forgot you asked this, Beck, and I didn't even study. All right, the top of my head. To direct it. She said direct.
Correct.
So, I'm going to take that as in just directing, not writing. So, I'm going to say Rob Zombie, because he's a good director. His writing needs work. So, if you can get someone else to write, someone like Quentin Tarantino with Rob Zombie's direction, that would be fucking mad.
That's a solid choice.
Yeah.
A solid choice.
On that note, though, Steven Spielberg would be good too, because I really do like his movies. Even though he's not strictly horror, but he's delved into horror.
True.
And John Carpenter would be good.
I thought that's who you would have picked.
If he was still alive, I probably would have picked Wes Craven.
Yeah, okay.
Just because I'd love to work with Wes Craven, but I'm guessing we're only going for people who are alive.
So you're Cravens and Craven.
Very good. Fucking loser.
Fuck you.
So who would you got? Anyone?
I was thinking John Carpenter, because from what I've seen, I quite like his films. But now that you've mentioned Rob Zombie, I completely forgot about Rob Zombie being an option, because his movie's just fucking badass.
Yeah, like he's really...
As you say, to an extent, you know, certain things start lacking substance, but the direction of them is...
Well, it's just every one of his movies is the same.
Yeah.
It's the same degenerate family...
Correct.
Which, I mean, would play well with me, because I constantly swear and say shit and I like tits. So
it's true. I think you'd make a good Captain Spaulding.
Thanks, man. I actually take that as a compliment. So Beck comes in again. She goes, and who would the two main actors be besides yourself? Oh, well, fucking hell, Beck. Two. All right. Oh, fucking, this is easy for me. Two main actors, Kane Hodder and Linnea Quigley. From back in the 80s, Linnea Quigley. So I can get all up inside her.
You
want
to see some boobies.
I do. I want to get up inside Linnea Quigley.
Getting up inside her. Find an entrance where you can.
Whoa! who would you like?
Fuck.
Frodo.
Frodo!
Sam!
fuck. I don't know, hey. I would love to have someone in a mask with James Earl Jones doing the voiceover, because that'd just be hectic. Oh,
that'd be good.
That would be really fucking cool. I said make him say random lines from other things.
I wonder if he talks like that during sex.
Yeah, does James Earl Jones narrate his own roots?
That would be sick.
Imagine that's all dark and he's got a flashlight and he goes, "Everything the light touches is my kingdom."
Holy fuck. I kind of want to have sex with James L. Jones now.
I think one of us has to find out.
Well, you said it, so it's up to you.
Fair enough. I'll let you take that bullet. That big brown bullet.
Oh. Yeah, he's black, so he'd be big too.
That, and I feel like just because it would be awesome, like old school Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, I forgot about Arnie.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
He'd add some like solid substance to that, and not to mention the amount of one-liners that would be lined up.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
You'd be like, "Can I have a one-liner too? Stop it!
Stop whining! Come on, I really want to go. Fine, do it! Do it now!"
Also, Christopher Walken. Because I'd love to party with you.
That would be so.
Imagine crazy. Just getting drunk with Christopher Walken.
I imagine even though I only got to pick two people, Samuel Jackson will just be there because he's in everything. Motherfucker!
Yeah. Imagine Samuel Jackson and Morgan Freeman together.
Whoa.
Like Morgan Freeman could narrate while Samuel Jackson just swore in the background.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I've had enough of this motherfucking voice in this motherfucking movie.
I never knew what his name was. All right. Thank you, Beck, for your lovely questions. We got one coming in from Samantha Day. She asks, "What's your favorite Disney children's movie?" You got one?
Strictly Disney?
Yeah, she goes no Twitter, no Pixar.
Okay.
Twitter, fucking
no Twitter fly. If we're talking like real old school, like normal cartoony sort of animation,
yep.
I suppose I'd probably have to say, I reckon maybe Aladdin.
Oh, really?
Aladdin was cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I did not expect that.
Wow, what would you say, Tim?
If why are you so smug? If we're going what you said, the full animation,
yeah,
dude, The Lion King.
Really?
Yeah.
Lion King's cool.
I don't like Aladdin. I hate that. A whole new world.
We've been friends with Scott for years.
But yeah, but Scott is also the monkey in Lion King.
Wow, that's brutal. That's true. Lion King does have James L. Jones.
Yeah, see?
Well, fair enough.
Actually, another one that I just thought of isn't really animation, but it's Disney, so Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, fair enough.
You seen that?
No, I know what it is, but I haven't seen it.
Wait, I can't remember if this is Disney or not.
That's a hard one. I can't think of how many there are.
I know, you can't. But wait, is The Nightmare Before Christmas, is that Disney?
I don't know.
Yes, it is. So there you go. Nightmare Before Christmas is mine. That's my favorite.
Fair call. The Boogeyman was so scary in that as a kid.
I thought you meant.
He tried to eat Santa.
Yes, he did.
That's brutal.
I thought you were talking about now.
No. Yeah, just so I know, I'm afraid of the Boogeyman.
All right, Sam comes in again. What's the creepiest thing that's happened to you that you can't logically explain?
Being friends with Tim.
Oh, you're fucking funny.
Oh, someone had to go there. And it had to be me, because no one else can say anything.
Very good. Okay, I know why Sam's asking this question. Me and her are personal, like, actual friends in real life, so she's taking a jab at me right now. So I know what she wants me to say. So back at about probably 10-something years ago, when I was dating my ex-girlfriend, we had a small apartment in Sydney. And I'm not religious in the slightest. And the paranormal, I believe that there is something after death, but I'm not big into the whole ghost thing. I just wipe it off my shoulders. If it is, it is. Whatever. I never really fully believed it. So we were living in this apartment, and weird shit started to occur. posters were being ripped off the wall, and I'd come back into the room and they'd be ripped to shreds when no one was there in the room. Pictures would fall off the wall, not like fall, like thrown across the room. But the creepiest thing that happened was, is I was sitting there playing PlayStation, and my girlfriend at the time was sitting next to me, and in the corner of my eyes, she just screamed, and I said, "What's wrong?" And next thing, this handprint formed on her face. Now, I wasn't looking at her, but I'm pretty sure I would have seen her slap herself if it was her. Basically, after that, we left the apartment because it was getting a bit too weird. Still to this day, I don't know if it was something there or if it was just her being crazy. So I don't know what the full detail is, but it was kind of freaky when we were there. So that was the creepiest thing that's happened to me that I can't explain.
Very cool.
Yep.
Yeah, nice.
Okay, on top of that, that's it for listener mail. But before we get to the main subject of the night, Benjamin?
Yes, Timothy?
We have your question of the week.
That is correct, guys. It is time for my question of the week.
Ben's question of the week.
Now, this week, the question that we asked everyone was, what is your favorite non-horror movie? So we got a few different answers here. So Sam Day has come in saying Lord of the Rings. Fuck yeah, solid choice, Sam, and this is why we're friends. Our good friend Alan has said,
wait,
say Alan Chacha.
That's right.
Sorry, bro. Has come in Pulp Fiction or Expendables 2. Mm-hmm. Both solid choices. Expendables 2, that is very specific. Why, Alan? Why number 2 over number 1, say? I get it over number 3. But
have you seen them?
I have.
Both of them?
All 3 of them, matter of fact.
No, I mean like Pulp Fiction and Expendables 2.
Oh, yeah, I've seen both of them too. Mm. Yeah. Beck Rocha has said Shutter Island, and she could think of so many more, but that'll do. Well, mate, you can't have like shitloads of favourite movies, otherwise you just list them movies. That doesn't really count, all right? Sort yourself out. I'll be having fucking words with you during the week. Ryan Sorkness. Fuck, he's done the same thing. He's got heaps. Good Lord.
I've got heaps, actually, too.
Spaceballs, The Abyss, Die Hard, and Ghostbusters. Fuck yeah, I am so glad someone said Die Hard. The greatest Christmas movie of all time.
Beg to differ.
No.
You haven't seen Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2 yet.
You will. Just Die Hard. Enough said.
We're not reviewing Die Hard.
No, because there is no review.
What?
How, like, what? It'd be like 5 seconds long. Hi, we're here to review Die Hard. Perfect. Thanks for listening.
Fair enough.
Alan Rickman. Okay. What else have we got? So, Monica Mandoki.
That's Miss Monica from the Padded Room podcast.
Ah, very good. Very good. So, she's come in saying John Wick.
Yeah.
I've heard good things about that. I haven't seen it before, but
it's worth. You'd like it.
Yeah, nice, nice. A good mate, Geordie Van Vuklis, Scarface, Wolf of Wall Street, and The Godfather Part 1.
Never seen The Godfather 1 or 2.
Neither have I.
Oh, we're probably being sworn at right now.
Probably. It's a good thing we can't hear you guys. Now, Tim, I'm going to hand this to you because I know how good you are at pronouncing names, and you're being way too smug looking at me with that one coming up, so you have a crack.
Oh, you fucking asshole. To whom this goes to, I apologize, but it's time for everyone's favorite segment, Listen to Tim Fuck Up Names.
Okay, Horror for Dummies.
Tangiwa? Kuri? Yeah. Tangwa Kuri. I'm sorry, that's wrong, but they come in with The Fault in Our Stars, Hercules, and Men in Black movies. The Fault in Our Stars. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Maybe I've never heard
of it. It was like a love movie sort of thing that came out like a couple of years ago.
Okay. So, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Might have to check it out. And
Your Lovely Fiancé.
Jaleesa, you've heard on this show before. Pirates of the Sea. That's a pirate. No, she meant Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, sure she did.
Why did that just go away? Fucking.
Oh no, our list.
You just made the list. She also comes in with Scorpion King, which
that movie rocked.
Does it?
Yes.
Actually, I haven't seen
get it.
Step Brothers, yes.
Yeah, that's fuck yeah.
Still one of the best comedies. Bad Mums, she made me watch this the other day and actually had a fun.
Yeah, it's actually supposed to be pretty good, eh?
The Haunted Mansion, there's another Disney movie.
Yeah.
Benchwarmers, fuck White yes. Chicks. White Chicks. I'm so off White Chicks.
Benchwarmers is so funny though.
Yeah, Benchwarmers is fucking great. And she goes, I have so many. That's it for people who called in. We thank you, but what is your? I want to know what your favorite non-horror movies are.
I love action movies besides horror movies, so
yeah.
Like Predator. That's fucking horror. Amazing. Hey, saddle. I knew you were going to fire up, all right? Just simmer down, champion. All right? Fuck. So Predator.
Yep.
Terminator 2 specifically.
Yep. Fuck Oath.
And Die Hard.
Wow, I actually thought you were going to come up with other ones.
Like what?
Lord of the Rings and Star Wars.
I do fucking love those movies.
But they wouldn't be at the top?
Dude, how do you beat, like, Predator, Terminator, and Die Hard?
What would you give Predator out of 10? Actually, no, we're probably going to cover that. No, tell us now.
10. That movie's fucking incredible.
And Terminator 2?
10.
What did you give Terminator 1?
Less than 10.
I have a few, actually. One of them being Terminator 2. I didn't think you can get past that movie.
If you didn't cry at the end of that, you're a monster.
Yeah.
The original Train to Busan.
Yeah. in a few ways, the first Terminator can be actually looked at as a slasher film. In a few ways.
Yeah, I could understand that.
That's actually a very deep discussion as to whether the Terminator is, like the original Terminator, is a horror movie or not. That's a question for another day. We won't go into that now. Hmm. Jurassic Park, dude, dinosaur, kind of like a monster, so, and that could be argued as a horror movie as well, in some sense. What else I have? E.T., love me some E.T.
Yep.
Willow. Fucking, those midgets are cute as shit. And one of the ones that I fucking love, which is nowhere near a horror movie, is The Karate Kid. I fucking love me some Karate Kid.
That is true.
Yeah.
But who's the real Karate Kid?
Fucking Johnny.
Ralph Macchio?
No, fuck Ralph Macchio.
Or William Zabka.
Yeah, it's William Zabka.
He was beaten using an illegal move. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
kind of precedent is that setting.
And you look at it, like, Daniel-san's the jerk here. I mean, he fucked with Johnny. Like, trying to get in his way of him and his girlfriend having a fight.
True.
So, of course, he's going to get your ass kicked. And then he puts the hose on Johnny as he's, like, putting on his makeup. What do you think's going to happen?
It's true. He was asking for it.
Exactly. and then he turns around and takes his girl. Like, Johnny here is the real Karate Kid. Just saying. Okay, so...
Alrighty, guys. So, we're going to change up how the question works a little bit. We're going to get it a little bit more in sync. So, we're going to ask... Ba, ba, ba. So, I'll be asking the next question on this show. So, this show will be released on a Saturday, and we record on a Tuesday night. So, you'll have from Saturday when this is released till Tuesday night to get all your answers in. So, get in hard and fast. Alrighty. So, the question for next week is going to be, what is your favorite music genre? We keep telling you what's pumping on our iPod. Tell us what's pumping on yours.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. A door can be used both ways once open.
That's so cute.
I know, right?
All right, so get them in to us before next Tuesday.
That's it. And while you're on the Facebook, by the way, writing into all these shenanigans that we get up to, we have been told by a few people that our posts aren't appearing on your newsfeed for some reason. So while you're on there, just make sure you're definitely following us to get our posts up on your newsfeed. Don't know why they're not, but, you know, just double check it. And while you're there, click that little share button, eh? Share the love. Bring the people in. Show them how dumb I am.
Wow. Thank you very much, guys. If you could please do what Ben says. He may be dumb, but he has a point.
Yeah, I know. It's called a pen.
You fucking dumbass. All right. On that note, it's time to talk about our Freecha presentation.
Freecha!
And now for our feature presentation.
All right, it's time to talk about a movie. Not just any movie, this is one of the must-sees in horror. So, before we kick it off with Benjamin, by 1984, the slasher genre was wearing thin. Halloween bombed out with Part 3, don't you say anything. Friday was the same old thing, and people began to get bored. But then this film came out and saved the slasher subgenre. The character of Freddy Krueger has appeared in nine films, one TV show, he's been in video games, he's had songs made about him, he's sold countless toys and other items, such as fucking lunchboxes and whatever, and he's even released his own CD, which is called Freddy's Greatest Hits. Tonight, and you guys voted for him, we are talking about A Nightmare on Elm Street, the original, from 1984. This one's coming in at a 7.5 on IMDb. The plot is, and if you don't know what the plot is, like, go watch the movie. Several people haunted by a cruel serial killer who kills his victims in their dreams. Interesting plot. Benjamin, you know of Freddy?
I do.
Did you... So you haven't seen this one?
No, that's right.
Have you seen the remake?
I have seen the remake.
Wow.
But...
That amazes me.
I saw it when it came out of the movies.
Okay.
So, but I don't really remember, like, the remake at all.
Yeah, it's kind of forgettable.
Yeah, very cool.
But, okay, so you knew of Freddy Krueger. Did you know his backstory at all?
Yes, I did know the backstory.
Okay. Did you know much about this film?
No, I didn't know anything about the first film, really.
So, before we kick into it, Nancy, who's played by Heather Langenkamp,
yeah,
she did you know she was going to be the main actor in this? Because starts off with Tina.
It starts off as Tina is the main chick, which,
yeah,
that actually really fucking, like, it took me by surprise.
Mm.
And she's fucking just gone in, like, the first 15 minutes or something. I was like, whoa, okay, I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
Which is also a bit disappointing, because she was pretty.
She was, actually. Amanda Wiss.
Mm.
Okay, well, first view of the original A Nightmare on Elm Street. The first movie with Freddy Krueger. Your thoughts, please, sir.
Truth be told, Tim,
mm-hmm.
My thoughts on this, it wasn't quite what I was expecting.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
It started strong. It started promising. Uh-huh. Yeah, it didn't waste any time getting into the whole plot of the movie. You know, straight away it's into a dream sequence. It's got, you know, the first little intro part has that little sort of film playing of him making his claw and stuff. So, like, it's got a cool solid start,
mm-hmm.
but then I found it actually started dragging, like, for quite a bit of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't actually. I didn't really rate it as much as I thought I was going to be honest.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's because, you know, being such an iconic thing for horror, there was a lot of pressure put on it, even though I tried to put it out of my mind what I was sitting down to watch. But I just found that the way the story sort of unfolded, it started losing me for a while in the middle and towards the end.
Yeah, yeah.
It starts dragging on.
No, I can see that. All right. Before we continue about this, I just want to tell you this story. So, you all know that this is, like, in my top 10 of all-time favorite films.
Mm.
But I haven't seen this for years. I can't even tell you how many years, but it's been a second. I was really excited about... Okay, actually, funny story about watching this movie is I've got two Nightmare on Elm Street packs in my home. So... I pulled out the first pack to watch the first film, and it scratched the shit out. And I'm thinking, oh, fuck.
It was Freddy.
I hope it works. Yeah. So I opened up my second pack, and all the DVDs are there, except for the first one.
Wow.
So I had to go and buy a new copy for Ben to watch.
Thanks, Ben.
In saying that, I was really, really excited about rewatching this movie. But as I was sitting down and watching it, it hasn't aged well.
No, it has not.
From what I remember, like, and before watching this, I was thinking, notes this week are going to be hard, because I remember this movie being flawless, being perfect. But it was actually a bit of a shock, because, like, let's talk about the acting. I remember the acting being pretty decent.
Wow.
But, yeah.
Time makes fools of us all, eh?
Yeah.
Because that acting was atrociously bad.
Yeah.
Like, Robert Englund did a fucking good job as Freddy.
Yeah.
He was good, no doubt.
He was basically the only one.
That's right. Everyone else in this movie could not act to save their life.
Yeah. And okay,
which is ironic because most of them died.
But let's go through this cast. So we have Heather Langenkamp, who plays Nancy Thompson, who is god-awful in this movie. Like, her line delivery is horrible.
So bad.
Robert Englund, who played Freddy Krueger, good. He does well. Amanda Weiss, who plays Tina Gray, better than Nancy.
Far better than Nancy.
Still not perfect.
No.
I don't know how you pronounce this. Sue Garcia, who played Rod Lane.
Yep.
Which is the biggest porno name I've ever heard.
It really is, hey.
dude, did they just tell him to be a New Yorker?
I know, hey. What was with the accent and shit? Where did that all come from? It's like he decided he was from Brooklyn or something.
Exactly. Hey, I'm working here. Shit like that.
Get out of here, you mook.
John Saxon, who plays Lieutenant Thompson, he was actually pretty good, but he's a well-known actor.
Okay, fair enough.
He's been in his fair share.
Yeah, he looked kind of familiar to me, eh?
Yeah, he'd be one of those guys that you would have seen one of his movies.
Yeah, just wouldn't pick him. Yeah, exactly.
Glenn, the character of Glenn, played by Johnny Depp. This was Johnny Depp's first feature.
I thought it was. Yeah. Because I knew he was in this, and I noticed in the credits it said introducing Johnny Depp.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, Johnny, how do they know he's going to be a big star?
Yeah, I know. It's like they could see it coming.
Yeah. But, like, even him. Okay, the funny story about Johnny Depp doing this movie is he never actually auditioned for this.
Really?
He came with his friend, who his friend wanted to be a part of it. His name is Jackie Earle Haley, who is Freddy Krueger in the remake.
Oh, cool.
So they...
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it wasn't... and it was Wes Craven's daughter who saw Johnny Depp and said, he's lovely, you need to put him in the movie.
Yeah, nice.
And that's how Johnny Depp got his start in Hollywood, basically. Johnny Depp was an aspiring musician before this.
Well, there you go, see?
Yeah.
Nice guys don't always finish last.
But no, the acting, yeah, okay. So besides Fred Krueger and Lieutenant Thompson,
yeah,
the acting was shit.
Fucking so bad, eh?
Yeah.
Like, it kind of breaks the setting of the movie for you.
Yeah, because
you can't get into the story as much because it's just so, everything's so stiff and rigid and so poorly portrayed that you lose sight of the story you're actually supposed to be getting lost in.
Exactly, yeah.
It's, yeah.
Because I know, I remember the Friday the 13th, like, basically all of them. Their acting's pretty much, it's probably worse than this. They have horrible acting, but you can kind of forgive it because it's an enjoyable experience. This here just really let me down because I just remember it being great.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine that would have been hard. Like, I hadn't seen it, so I didn't know what to expect. But if you remember it being awesome and then saw that, you sort of would have been like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Disappointment.
No. Before we get too deep, this was written and directed by Wes Craven, if you didn't know that.
Yep.
Who, you know Wes Craven, don't you?
Correct.
Done the Scream series. I'm not going to mention everything he's done because he's done a lot for horror. But this was also produced by Robert Shay, who was the founder and CEO at New Line Cinema. Do you know the actor Lin Shaye?
Negative.
You wouldn't know her if you saw her. Oh, she's in Insidious, the mum in Detroit Rock City.
I've only seen parts of that, eh?
How dare you? You need to go see that.
Yeah.
You'd know her if you saw her. Anyway, this is the older brother of Lynn Shay. She was the teacher in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, okay, righto.
Now, the thing about this was New Line Cinema were struggling before this movie came out.
Yep.
Badly. So they were relying on this movie to bank. Otherwise, they were basically bankrupt and there'd never be New Line Cinema. Because this movie made so much money, New Line Cinema's nickname is the house that Freddy built.
Yeah, nice.
If it wasn't for Freddy Krueger, you may have not had films like Lord of the Rings.
Well, that would have just been...
So you can thank Freddy.
Good job, Freddy. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. All right, so what else did you think?
Yeah, I mean, the acting itself was fucking... Yeah, we've already covered that.
Yeah.
The storyline I thought was really cool, man. Like, when you think about when it first came out, this would have been fucking terrifying.
Because
it hints that you are, like, you are not safe at any point. And that you can't tell when you're not safe. You know what I mean? Like, I really, really like the way that in this, when it went to a dream sequence, it's not like straight away they told you this person's asleep. You sort of had to wait for something to actually happen to go, oh, shit, so they are asleep. Or, you know, you didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
So I really did like the way they used the dream sequences in this. And the concept is fucking cool.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it really is fucking cool. And I really, really liked the way they had Freddy. They sort of showed how twisted he was by the fact that he's clearly in charge in the dream world. He can make whatever the fuck he wants happen. But instead of just doing something to kill everyone straight away,
yeah,
it's like a cat with its prey. You know, he sort of like plays with them before he actually decides to kill them. He just sort of like torments them.
And that's why,
which is wicked.
It is, and that's why Freddy doesn't have as many kills as, say, Michael or Jason.
Because they're just straight up, like, to the kill, to the point.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas he likes to fuck with people.
Yeah.
Which is mad.
Now, if I told you right now that this was based loosely on a true story, would you believe me?
Possibly. Like off an urban legend sort of thing, you mean? Or
no, like a true story.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Probably not.
Okay. This was based loosely on a true story. So, Wes Craven came up with the basic idea of the movie from a series of articles in the Los Angeles Times. Now, he saw these articles of people in Asia, I can't remember which country.
Yeah.
Basically, that these young teenagers would complain to their parents saying, I don't want to go to sleep, I'll die. But the parents, of course, made them. The kids would actually wake up dead.
They woke up dead?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's a shit way to wake up.
You know what I mean? but they woke up dead this morning. What I was trying to say, they woke up screaming, then died.
Oh, okay, there we go. That's better.
But autopsy results revealed that they had not died from heart failure, but had simply died.
Yeah, that's pretty creepy.
It is. the phenomenon was called the Asian death syndrome.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so
someone dropped the ball on the creativity on that one.
Yeah, I know, right. But no, so that's where the idea came from for this story. But
yeah, okay.
The idea of Freddy as a character came to Wes Craven when he was only a young boy. When he was a young boy, he heard a noise outside his bedroom window, so he went and jumped out and had a look in the window, and he saw a homeless man standing there with a what do you call it, fedora?
Yeah.
Standing there looking at Wes Craven. So Wes Craven peeped down and back into his bed and then looked back up and the man was gone. And that has always been in his mind to kind of get the same.
Yeah, that's pretty creepy.
That's fucking horrifying.
Fuck that.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about the glove. Because all good slashers have their signature weapon.
That's true.
But I feel this is probably the coolest.
I agree. It's sort of the coolest and probably like the more iconic of them because it's unique.
Yeah.
It's not just like a knife that they happen to pick up. Like Michael Myers uses a knife most of the time, but he's not particularly picky about which knife. It's just, he just picks up a knife.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Or it's same with Jason and a machete or whatever else he happens to actually have around him at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Freddy is very very intent on using his glove, which is fucking cool. It is a really cool idea.
Yeah, it is. If you were in a zombie apocalypse and you could pick any weapon that the horror icons use, what would you pick?
Ooh. Gonna have to say shoulder cannon from Predator.
Really?
Why? What would you use?
The Freddy's glove.
You reckon?
Yep.
You still gotta get close to him, but.
Yeah, but. Alright, here it is. Leatherface's chainsaw, gonna run out of petrol eventually.
True.
Jason's machete, yeah, that would be my second best, but still.
Yeah, that seems pretty consistent.
Michael's knife?
Too close.
Exactly. Predator's shoulder cannon. Have you ever played Aliens vs. Predator?
Not the game.
Okay, that has a charge. There are certain amounts of shots you can fire. And then you got to wait for it to load back up. Cool and effective, but then you have to wait for it to reload.
True, true.
Takes time.
But that being said, like you said, the knife, like Michael's knife is too close. Isn't Freddy's glove exactly the same? Like, you literally, basically, have to be able to reach out and touch their face before you can actually do anything.
True, but I feel like with Michael's knife, a zombie can bite your hand. With Freddy's glove, you have that metal around.
Oh, true, true. Definitely better than the knife, but you've still got to let him get close enough to actually use it.
That's true, I guess. But I just really...
Yeah, it would just be fucking cool.
Yeah, I'd love to stab someone in the head with it. And how creative the thought of it.
Yeah, it is. It is a really cool weapon for a horror movie to have.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, straight up.
Okay, so... the effects.
Now, I thought... Depends which effect you're talking about. There were a couple that I thought were really cool and really well done, and then there were a couple that were really shit and looked really bad.
What looked really shit?
Like, at the start, when Tina's dying... There's just one little snippet. I think it's literally on screen for like a second and a half, where it's like her chest and the claw marks sort of appear across her chest.
You didn't like that?
No, I thought that was really. Wow. I like the concept of it, but I thought it was done really shit.
Yeah.
The rest of that scene was done really well, like where she's like getting dragged across the roof and shit like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool, but just that one random little scene I thought was pretty average.
Yeah.
Or like her mum right at the end of the movie. When the car starts driving away and Freddy's arm busts through the door and, like, rips her through the door.
Yeah, okay.
That looked so shit.
I actually thought you would have said the arm prop where Freddy's arms are really, really long.
That was in my brain before.
Okay.
Because that, it does look pretty average, but I get the point they're trying to prove that, like, you know, it's in the dream world. He can do whatever he wants because, like, it's not like he does anything with him. It's not like she tries running away and he just reaches out and grabs her anyway.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't actually do anything with that. He's standing there normally and then he's got massive arms.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Like, I get it's proven the point that he can just do what he wants in the dream world.
Yeah.
So, I get that. But, yeah, it looked pretty fucking weird.
Well, just so you know, they made that by having men with fishing poles on each side of the alley operating the puppet's arms attached to Robert Englund.
I thought so.
So there you go.
Something like that.
Yeah. I can understand the mum through the glass window at the end. Tina's chest, I still thought, hold up.
Really?
I like that.
Fair enough.
Maybe it's a nostalgic fact to me.
True. Like the stretchy wall over Nancy. Yeah. When she's laying in bed and he sort of starts reaching through the wall and then as she wakes up, he peels back. That was really cool.
Yeah, well, they do that in the remake.
Yeah.
And it looks fucking horrible.
Really?
It's full-blown CGI. Yeah, it looks bad. In this, it still looks great because he's actually doing it. Like,
yeah, that's right.
With
they had some form of, like, stretchy material over an empty
hole in the wall. I can't remember exactly what it was.
So, like, literally, that's actually just him pushing forward on it and moving back. So I thought that looked wicked.
Yeah.
That was cool. And fucking Freddy's skin was done really fucking well.
It was, yeah.
It looked really good.
Which took, like, a lot of time to put on.
Yeah,
and
I can imagine, eh?
So, and he did, like, every movie, so, besides the remake. But, yeah, so, you must have enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's right, eh?
Yeah.
Worth it.
Yeah. Well, okay, so, you said about Tina's chest.
Yep.
But you liked the whole her floating around the room.
Yeah.
You found that good?
Yeah, I thought that, like, the scene of, like, her death is actually really cool. And it's a good way of getting the point across, like, straight away at the start of the movie that whatever's happening in your dream is, like, happening to you in real life.
Yeah,
that's it. You sort of saw the little slash marks in her nightie at the start, but it sort of that just hinted at it. But then that is just like a straight up, you know, it tells you what's going on.
Yeah.
So that was cool. I was digging that.
Now, I forgot to write down notes for this movie, actually, but on the top of my head, how they made that is they basically set up a whole room and had it, like, on a tilt.
Yeah.
In a way. Was either that? No, sorry, that was the Johnny Depp blood stuff. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll go into the Johnny Depp death.
That was fucking cool.
Yeah.
That being said, I have seen that scene before. Okay, on just those random things that are on TV, of, you know, like countdowns of random scenes from movies and best effects and this and that. So I've seen that scene a lot of times already.
Yeah.
Didn't really have as much context as it does when you actually watch the movie. But as soon as I saw, and I knew it happened to Johnny Depp in Nightmare on Elm Street. So I knew that was coming.
You knew Johnny Depp was in this movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew he was in it and I knew what was going to happen to him at some stage.
Yeah. Okay.
But the scene itself was fucking cool.
It was, even though there's a lot more blood than a human body.
Yeah, yeah, I was just overlooking that point.
You know what's funny is when they gave this to the NPA to get the rating.
Yeah.
They said they were actually going to give it like a NC-17 rating, which is like an X for us. But then the filmmaker said that's not all Glenn's blood. That's the blood of all the Elm Street children. And then they allowed it. I mean, doesn't make any difference.
No, that's right. I mean, really, it doesn't fucking matter. But
yeah.
Fair enough, whatever gets it accepted.
Yeah, exactly.
I couldn't handle the effect. Or it's not so much the effect of, you know, the bed sheet when Rod dies.
Strangles
him.
Yeah.
The scene itself, like, cool concept, but Amy actually ruined it for me while we were watching it.
Why?
Because you know how he's laying on the bed and it starts twisting down, like, lower on the bed?
Yeah.
And it starts coming off. Amy was looking at it. She goes, that's a weird boner. So then I just imagined it as a weird boner inside the sheets that strangled him and killed him. Like, completely detached that it was Freddy doing it. Rod was choked to death by a strange boner.
That's fucking gross.
It's so fucking weird.
What was I going to say? What was I going to say?
Don't know. What
was I gonna say? The original plans for Freddy. Now get this. Tell me. I'm not going to. Don't tell me because I already know your answer. He was originally going to be a silent killer like Jason and Michael.
No way.
Well, I don't think there would have been. There might have been a sequel, but it wouldn't have banged like it did.
Nah. Because especially like. From what I haven't really seen much of Freddy, but from what I understand, he starts being like a bit more of a smartass and stuff, doesn't he?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
A lot
and
more.
And that's like massively more. What's appealing about him is he's actually fun to watch.
Yeah.
In that regard.
Yeah. In a way, it does get annoying towards the end. Yeah.
So that's just because he says bitch all the time?
Yeah, well, he does. Not annoying, but it's like the movies just get shitter the more they go.
Drag.
Yeah. Some of the kills, like the dream kills, are actually really creative, but yeah, it does get a little dumber.
Mm.
But take part two, for example. I've said this to you before, that's known as one of the gayest horror movies of all time.
Yeah.
Okay. Gay isn't like...
Shit.
No, not shit, like actually...
Gay, oh, really?
Like, homosexual.
Oh.
Yeah. It has gay undertones throughout.
Freddy gets weird dildos instead of claws on his glove, doesn't he?
No.
Just goes around fingering everyone.
I don't know why that's not a porno. Maybe it is. I know there is a porno with Edward Scissorhands.
That's weird.
I think it's called Edward Dildo Hands. I think, don't quite know that yet.
Can we review that?
You want to watch a porno with me?
Not really, but I want to watch Edward Dildo Hands because that's fucking hilarious.
That'd be pretty funny. All right.
So,
tell me. Yeah. Sorry, did you have something?
No.
All right. The ending.
Yes.
How did you feel?
I didn't like it.
Why?
Because it kind of confused me and left me, again, feeling unsatisfied.
So you don't understand what happened?
Like, so... Yeah, like, there were a few things in the ending that really just sort of, like, lost me. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, the concept of her bringing Freddy out of the dream. I get that.
Yeah.
Was she actually touching him when she woke up?
Yes.
Was she?
Yes, okay. She had him.
Okay, because I didn't say that. I was writing notes, so I missed that bit. So, anyway. Yeah, what the fuck, when he fucking is upstairs, like, burning her mum?
Okay, yeah.
And then she turns into a weird skeleton and starts sinking into the bed in the real world.
Yeah.
And the hand goes up and... what the fuck is that?
Yeah, okay.
Like, seriously, what the fuck is that? Can you answer me?
I will.
Okay, but that was fucking weird as.
Yep.
Then he just... what? Like, does she fall asleep again?
No.
So why is Freddy still around?
Okay.
What happens? She wants to... yeah, she's trying to ignore him and take back all the energy she gave him. Because Glenn was talking about the dream skills.
Yeah.
I understood that and I knew that was going to come into... she takes back all the energy. Freddy disappears, apparently. And then she walks through the door and is like, you know, everything's like reset. Everyone's alive again. Everything's all good.
Yeah.
But then obviously the car seems to be Freddy, so to speak.
Okay.
And then his arm bursts through the window and drags her mum through the window. Like, so is she asleep again? Although I don't really understand what the fuck happened there.
Okay, so you're confused as to how all her friends are still alive and her mum's still alive and all that stuff type of thing.
Yeah.
The answer's in the title of the movie.
What?
A nightmare. It's only one nightmare. There's not nightmares. So this whole movie is Nancy's nightmare. Everything that happened is Nancy's nightmare. Up until when she goes through the door, sees her friends in the car.
Yeah.
Beyond that was all her nightmare. It was all in her head.
Okay, so none of the rest of the shit actually happened.
No.
Tina didn't die. Because that was one of the other things that we thought. Like, I was like, so does that mean that whole thing was a dream?
Yeah.
Because I fucking hate that. I fucking hate it when people really do shit like that. When it's like, all this shit happens and they go, but it was all just a dream. Like, well, what the fuck?
I understand that. That's
rubbish.
But this was a nightmare, not a dream.
Splitting hairs.
I get what you're saying.
I understood the concept and it was cooler when it was invading multiple people's dreams. Yeah. Invading one dream.
Because, you know,
it's just unsatisfying that everything you just watched, basically, they're just like, everything you just saw in the last hour was completely irrelevant. Because it didn't really happen, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Like, well, what the fuck did I watch it for?
See, yeah, I know what you mean, but in this movie, I actually thought it was cool. I thought it was a good twist. Now, the arm coming through the hole at the end and the
car driving itself?
Yeah.
What's the game
that was that was a rewrite of the script. Now, Wes Craven's original script, he had it with a happy ending. With her driving off, the parents being alright. But because Robert Shay and New Line Cinema saw money in this project, they instantly thought sequels. Yeah, so they had to give it open. Yeah, they had to give a little stinger at the end to make you know that this isn't over. This is not the end of Freddy.
But see, I reckon that would have even been cooler if they ignored the car part, just let the kids drive off, and then have his arm burst through the window and drag her mum away.
Yeah.
Because then, I don't know, like, that doesn't make sense to me, because she's awake, it's in the real world. Why is the car driving itself?
No. That was a stupid rewrite. I don't think they were thinking logically. I think they were thinking money.
Yeah. Oh, well, it didn't work for me at all, eh?
I kind of had a feeling that you would come in like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I really liked the first half of this movie, basically.
Yep.
And then did not like the second half.
So you didn't like the Home Alone set in traps?
Nah, that was so gay. I fucking... It would have been funny if it was in, like, a tongue-in-cheek movie. I would have laughed at that.
Yeah.
But because it was, like, clearly such a dead serious sort of movie, it didn't work for me. I was like, that's fucking shit. And I even said, this is just like Home Alone. Like, I didn't dig that. And I didn't like the fact that they explained the story. Like, I liked the way they got right into it from the word go. And they explained the story really quickly.
Yeah.
And then it's like they just hit this wall. It's like they realized that explained the whole story too quickly. So yeah. They just got hung up on the fact that, okay, he attacks you in your sleep, can't go to sleep. So it's just like the next 40 minutes is her telling people not to go to sleep and not wanting to go to sleep. Like, okay, we get it.
Yeah.
Do something cool. Bring back more Freddy. Let someone fall asleep and let someone get killed again, or do something fucking cool.
Yeah.
But it didn't. It was just her trying not to fall asleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's not very exciting.
I understand. No, I get what you mean. All right, well, before we wrap this up, I'll just give you a little bit of a trivia update.
Do you have anything else to add? No, man, not really. Just basic points we normally cover.
Yeah.
Cinematography in this was nothing flash.
It was, yeah, you know.
There was one or two scenes that were shot quite cool, like the angle in the bathtub scene, where she's underwater and it makes it clearly obvious that the bath is actually like heaps far away and she's getting dragged down. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But on the whole, cinematography,
It wasn't bad.
It was okay. It wasn't bad, but it was just, that's right. The score, same sort of thing.
Oh, okay, no, the score we have to talk about.
Okay.
Now, the main theme of the movie
is
incredible. I love it.
I thought there were some cool parts, for sure.
The problem with the score that I noticed in this time watching around is they play it way too often.
They play it heaps.
Yeah.
Heaps. It's like their standard go-to music. And they start using it a lot of the time when she falls asleep. So you start losing, like, after a certain point, you start losing the suspense of are they asleep, are they not? Because as soon as you start hearing that music, you know they're asleep. So you're just like, well, okay. So Freddy's going to be there or something weird's about to happen.
Yeah.
So it sort of starts spoiling what's actually going to happen.
No, that's right. Apart from the main theme, the score in the movie, like during the action scene, some of the score's a bit hit and miss.
Yeah, exactly. And it does the same thing a lot. It'll sort of have something happening and then do a really loud boom.
Yeah.
For like, you know, she's just gone around a corner and Freddy's there again.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it sort of keeps, it does a lot of like shock scares in this, which work the first few times, but when you do it constantly, you sort of just expect that it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's why people hate jump scares.
Yeah, that's right. It was like Paranormal Activity. Yeah.
I like Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, so do I, except it's the same thing. It always gets that low rumbling noise that slowly builds up before it's about to go bang. Yeah. So as soon as you hear a low rumbling, you're just like, all right, it's going to get real loud in a second.
No, that's exactly right. So, you're right. All right, so little bit of trivia. So, alrighty. Robert Englund cut himself the first time he tried on the infamous Freddy glove.
See, that's just a sign. He was meant to be Freddy.
Yeah. Over 500 gallons of fake blood were used during the filming.
Nice.
To go back to the makeup, it took him 3 hours to get into the makeup.
Oh, that's brutal, eh?
Yeah. So imagine that, like, every day. Like, you couldn't sleep in it or anything like that.
Pass.
Did you notice Nancy watching Evil Dead?
No, I did not, actually.
Okay, she was watching Evil Dead in her room. This was because... sorry, I've got a frog in my throat. In the original Evil Dead, there's a poster of The Hills Have Eyes, which is a Wes Craven film, hanging in it.
Yeah, cool.
So then Wes Craven put The Hills Have Eyes movie into Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
And then in return, Sam Raimi, the creator and director of Evil Dead, put the glove, Freddy Krueger's glove, in Evil Dead 2.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
So it's a little bit of a...
I like that.
Yeah.
Sort of like an acknowledgement of each other.
Yeah, exactly. That's
cool. I dig that.
So it cost roughly around $1.8 million to produce, which is fuck all, really. Mm. Back in 84, I don't know what the rate is now.
Yeah.
The word Elm Street was never used in the movie, never spoken.
True.
Heather Langenkamp, now get this, this is going to outrage you, beat over 200 actresses for the role of Nancy. Among them, Jennifer Grey, Demi Moore, Courtney Cox, and Tracy Gold.
That's just stupid. Who was she banging?
Yeah, well... And,
you'd be scared though. Did you see the size of those choppers?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
I don't want to be mean, but Heather Langenkamp isn't the prettiest girl in the world.
Oh.
All right, last bit of trivia, and this is something I wanted to bring up because this is something that delves in the remake, and I feel it's something why people hate the remake. In the original script, Freddy was a child molester. However, the decision was made to change him into being a child murderer to avoid accusations of exploiting a series of child molestations in California around the time of production. Now, he was rewritten as a child molester in the 2010 remake.
Yes.
Which is, I think, why a lot of people hated that.
Yeah, version. It's definitely a touchy subject, eh?
Yeah.
Which is understandable. Yeah.
Which is funny because Freddy became such a pop culture icon that people... And, like, kids were running around with, like, him and Yeah, shirt and toys of Freddy. But they forget that originally he was going to be a child molester.
Yeah.
Even that, he's a child killer. And yeah, you've got him on his kid's age of five, have him on his shirt.
Yeah, that's right, eh?
Which is funny to me.
The irony alone could kill him.
Yeah, I know, right? All right, well, let's come in with our final thoughts and score.
I will say there were a couple of things that made me laugh in this movie, whether they were supposed to or not.
Like?
Three things in particular.
Yeah, hear me.
When Nancy's pretending to be asleep and her mum takes out all the empty coffee pots and stuff and then walks away. And then Nancy rolls over and from underneath her bed pulls an entire another coffee machine with a big fresh pot of coffee on it ready to go.
Okay, yeah.
Like, what the fuck? How do you hide a coffee machine? How do you not smell that there's coffee in the room?
No, okay, yeah.
That, the fucking, the comment after Glenn's death the cop makes when the Ambos are running upstairs.
Yeah.
When they run past and the cop goes, you're not going to need a stretcher, you're going to need a mop. Like, that's sick.
That's fucking brutal.
I thought that was, I know, it's pretty brutal, but I was thinking the same thing when they were getting out of the stretcher. I'm like, that's going to be pretty useless.
Yeah, yeah, they're right.
So I did like that. But the thing that made me laugh the most was Glenn's shirt when he was laying in bed.
Why? Because it's so short it was.
When he stands up, it's basically like a crop top. Yeah. What the fuck?
The fashion. Well, yeah, okay, the fashion, the fashion in this movie. That's so
funny.
Like, even Nancy's clothing was like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, I know, right?
That's how outdated this movie is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, understandable sign of the times and stuff, but yeah. What the fuck is that crop top thing he's wearing, man?
I don't know.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, don't you have weird jammies?
No.
Neither do I.
So, all right. Yeah, that's pretty much all I had to say on it.
Nice shirt. Yeah, I've written down your notes.
Very nice good. Shirt.
All right, well, final thoughts and score. You can go first.
As I said, final thoughts. Very, very fucking cool concept.
Yep.
First half of the movie was good, good pace, interesting. Second half definitely died off, and the final sort of showdown really lacked a punch for me. So, all things considered, I'm actually only coming in at a 5 out of 10 for this movie.
I actually guess that.
A
5, wow. So, one above the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You don't like your classics, do you?
It's not that I don't like them. There's just certain things that don't sit well with the actual movie itself.
It's probably because it's your first time watching it.
Yeah,
there's maybe. Probably those you didn't as I said, like me.
Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, I also just find, like, if I find myself checking the time on a movie to see how much longer it has before I can finish it,
yeah,
it's not intriguing me. I'm not enjoying watching it.
Fair enough. Okay. Me. Now, one of my favorite films of all time, but this recent watch opened my eyes to a few things. This movie, on the plus side, gave birth to one of my favorite horror icons of all time. And a lot of people's favorite on that. And it was a really, really cool concept, is what Ben said. But on top of that, it has a lot of flaws. On that note, it's still a great movie. I would still recommend it for people to watch it if you haven't. Especially if you're a horror fan. If you haven't seen this movie, don't call yourself a horror fan.
Yeah, definitely worth watching.
Yeah.
No doubt.
On that note, because it has some flaws, I'm coming in an 8 out of 10 because I still like it. I still love it. It's still in my top 10, but it may be bumped up to a few spots just in this recent rewatch. So, yeah. So, that's Nightmare on Elm Street as voted by you gorgeous people. So, on that note, let's go into our next segment, which is... What's Under the Bed Reviews?
Under the Bed Reviews.
What's up? Alright, this movie, this is a movie I saw that I'm going to do, that I saw halfway through this year, and I didn't actually get the thought of reviewing it until now. I don't know why, it just popped in my head. This movie is called The Evil Within. So the plot is, a special needs boy begins to talk to his own reflection in a mirror, which soon becomes a demon who haunts his dreams, first telling him to commit murder, and then slowly torturing him psychologically to achieve the same goal. I'm not going to tell you the full cast, but it stars Michael Berryman, who many of you will know, most notably for The Hills of Eyes, in The Devil's Rejects. He's the one that is accused of fucking the chickens. Now, okay, when I was watching this movie, I was actually really intrigued, because this is a low budget film, even though it's got a $4 to $6 million budget. It still feels and acts as a low budget film, but we'll get to that in a second. As I was watching this movie, there's a scene in the movie where I was watching it, and I was intrigued. This man is pushed into a bigger man. Now, this bigger man who's sitting down in his chair stands up and turns around. And I'm watching this movie, and this man who must be 7 foot tall or something like that, he stands up, and he's got this distinguished look, a look that no one can forget. And I was looking at him going, that's Matthew McGorry from The Devil's Rejects, who plays Tiny from The Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses. Now, the problem with this is, this movie came out this year, 2017, but Matthew McGorry died in 2005. So I started to research this movie, because nothing gets me harder than researching this movie.
Whoa. Now, I did not expect that.
This movie was written and directed by a man called Andrew Getty. Now, they started filming this in 2002, but it wasn't released until this year. Now, the reason being is because it was shot largely in Getty's own mansion. The production stopped and started over many years because of funding issues and conflict with the cast, including a lawsuit from a studio assistant. The cast and crew also went through a number of changes, and according to the producer, only he and Michael Berryman made it through the changes. Now, Getty continued to work on the film for many years after the filming was done, creating his own special effects and trying to perfect the film. Sadly, he died in 2015 before the film was finished. Now, the producer, Michael Luceri, came to his aid, edited the film, and finished it and brought it out. So, 15 years that this movie has been made.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So it's very, because the guy died from a drug overdose. So, oh, right. Okay. And I think it was because the stress of this movie being made led him to drugs. So it's kind of a sad story.
Yeah.
The movie itself, now, it stars a special needs person. When I was watching this movie and listening to the special needs person, I actually searched up the actor who played the special needs person. And I actually had to see if he actually was special needs or if this was acting. This was acting. And, really? Okay, I'm not going to say it's a perfect special needs act, but it's fucking pretty close.
Okay, enough to be believable, yeah. Obviously, if you have to check it.
The acting from him alone is worth a shot. The rest of the cast, not so much. But just from him and Michael Berryman, who you would have seen him. He's a special-looking person. You would have seen in any other movies. But just for them, their chemistry and the acting alone of this little boy is worth a watch this movie. The storyline of the movie is interesting and keeps you entertained. And apart from that, it has, from what I can remember, because I did watch this halfway through the year, it has some decent gores and a good little twist at the end. So yeah, it's one that I enjoyed and may make my top 10, may not. But I'm coming in with about an 8 out of 10 for this movie. Now just remember that it doesn't look perfect because of the filming time. Some of this was filmed in 2015, some of it was filmed in 2002. So of course the transition of film isn't going to be the same. So just try to ignore that. But no, it's worth a watch. Watch it before you buy it, but if it's cheap enough, hell, I might come in with a buy on this one.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. So that's The Evil Within. And don't be confused about the video game. This is the movie. So don't go to EB Games and buy the video game and think there's going to be a spastic kid in it. All right, so let's get to our next segment, which is called The Voice of the People. You're the voice, try and understand it. Make the noise and make it clear. Oh, 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 oh. The people have spoken, Benjamin. Now, this... Yeah?
I was waiting.
Oh, okay.
I was waiting to hear what the people said. Apparently, they didn't say much.
So for the next 2, maybe 3 weeks, we're going to be one of those podcasts that delves into the Christmas horror section.
Ew.
Because I enjoy it. Okay. I find some of the movies very much fun. And we think that you should get around to watching some of them and joining us on this little journey, which is the Christmas horror section.
That's true. Get into the season of the spirit. Jingle your balls. Do all that stuff.
Yes. Make sure you jingle your balls.
Constantly. Then you'll have a white Christmas.
Yeah. So the two films that are put up for voting are Krampus from 2015 and A Christmas Horror Story, which is also from 2015.
Ooh.
We had 61 votes, Benjamin.
Yep. 61 votes. Good fucking work, people. That's good work. Loving it.
Thanks to Buddy for sharing those polling options.
Yeah, buddy.
So, the results are in. And for next week, with a result of 62%, we are reviewing Krampus.
Krampus. Yes.
Yeah. Now, this one has, well, lucky for us, this one has just come on Netflix, Australian Netflix.
Beautiful.
You all have no excuse to watch it. I can tell you right now, this movie is worth a watch. Okay, I'm not going to spoil you with the score or anything like that, but it's worth a watch. I think you'll have fun with it. As for American Netflix, I'm not too sure, but if we have it, I'm sure that you have it because your Netflix is a lot better.
That's true. You guys probably had it in 2015.
Probably. So that's for next week. We are reviewing Krampus. I cannot wait to get into this Christmas season.
I'm keen to watch that, eh? I've heard about this movie a fair bit, and I always see it come up about, like, as a Christmas horror movie, so I'm excited.
So this is one that it has its scary moments, but evidently it is half a comedy.
Okay, cool.
So it's one. It's one that you'll love the start scene.
Fuck yeah.
It's one that you can watch with Amy. I reckon you both will enjoy it.
You.
So yeah. All right. Well, on top of that, let's get into what's pumping on your iPod. Oh hot damn! This is my jam. Before we hit what's pumping on your iPod, we have the newest segment of the show, which is called Paley's Musical Minute. So take it away, Paley.
What's up, Horror for Dummies podcast? My name's Paley. You might have heard my name come up when I suggest dumb stuff to the guys just to annoy Tim about what songs that they should play every week. Little bit of backstory is that I usually just message Tim for fun. I don't normally necessarily email the show or post directly because I don't want to annoy anybody. I just want to annoy Tim, and I don't want to take away from people who have legitimate requests. But Tim did hit me up and ask if I wanted to do this every week. So normally I try to find a song that relates to whatever movie the guys are watching that week. Sometimes it's super easy, sometimes it's a dead set stretch. It might just be a name of the movie kind of sounds like and the name of the song. Other times the subject matter is pretty damn close, so I don't know, let's see how this goes. So the first song I picked for Nightmare on Elm Street, I was going to do DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, Nightmare on My Street, which is very, very terrible. I mean, I like Boom Shake the Room enough, but come on, Will Smith, what's the matter with you? So instead of that, I went with... Hang on, I've got to unlock my phone here. Shadow Windhawk is the band, and the song called 1428, which is a real horror punk jam. So yeah, I'll drop a little snippet of that in for you, and if you think it sounds like something cool about a movie that you may or may not have thought was cool, go check it out.
Thank you, Paley, for that lovely little musical minute of yours. Before we continue, you're wrong. DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince are sick. So shut up, Paley. On that note, before we continue, Paley has his own podcast called The Consumerist, where they talk about stuff they've watched, stuff they've bought. Actually, pretty good podcast. I recommend giving it a go. If you can, go to the Trainwreck Network on iTunes. Just type Trainwreck Network into iTunes and you'll find it there. Or go to podbean.com and type in Trainwreck Network. So anyway, back to the music section. Take it away, Bendy.
Okay, guys. So for what's pumping on your iPod this week, we do have a listener request for this week.
Yep. And
it is, again, from my fellow member of Team B, Miss Beck Rocha.
Yeah. Now,
she is a big horror fan herself. And she is also a budding young R&B artist.
Yeah.
She's got an amazing voice, guys. So I highly recommend you jump onto Facebook, check out her page, give her a like, give her a listen. Yeah. Everyone's trying to get where they want to be. We only get there by supporting each other. Mm-hmm. So it may be a little bit different to what we've put on the show so far, but that's the point of this segment, is to expand what you're listening to. So the first one coming in is Hate by Beck Rocha, or Rebecca Rocha.
As she goes by. Yeah, and this is, what do you call it, R&B?
Yeah, R&B.
I'm not a fan of R&B. I'm straight up telling you that right now. But Beck's voice is, and it's coming from a shit singer, but a singer nonetheless. her voice is fucking insane. It's nuts. And she's been on stage with some international acts, hasn't she?
Yeah, I believe so.
Ja Rule,
was it? Yeah, I think it was Ashanti and Ja Rule last time they were here for. She was up there opening.
That's fucking...
Which is pretty fucking cool.
That's mad. That's better than what we did.
Yeah.
Actually, no, Fozzie's better.
Yeah, Fozzie's way cooler. What are you talking about? But anyway, so yeah, she does have an amazing voice, guys. So even if it's not usually your jam, give it a listen.
Yep.
And see what you think.
Yeah. On that note, with our second song, this is the one that's been pumping on our pod for the past week. And one that my fiance, well, Joyce, she's fucking sick of. Have you heard of a band called The Beards?
I have heard of The Beards.
So, I have a beard, and Ben has a beard too.
That's true.
And there's a band in Australia who are sadly no longer with us, because it's just too rough skin to music. Mm. They're called The Beards, because all they sing about is having a beard.
That's true.
And I knew of this band, like, ages ago, because you see their posters everywhere in Sydney. But it wasn't until I heard one of their songs, which really got me hooked and actually made me go and get their album. And this album, which is called, would you just give me a second? Having a Beard is the New Not Having a Beard, from 2012.
I fucking loved it. They're so good.
Every song on their album is great. I really enjoy listening to their stuff. They may be comedy, but technically they are really, really good musicians. Really good.
It's kind of like Steel Panther in that regard.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, everything they sing about is hilarious, and you can't take the lyrics seriously, but when you break it down technically, they're awesome musos.
Yeah. Like, let me run down some of the song titles that they have. I'm in the Mood for Beards. Got Me a Beard, Still Got My Beard, The Beard Accessory Store, Why having a beard is better than having a woman? I think beards are great. There's just nothing better than a beard. Beards are back. You get the point. Every single song is about a beard. And they usually end this song with going, beards. Which just tops it. The song I'm going to play for you today is the first song that I actually heard of them. And it's my favorite. And it's actually catchy as hell. And I think you'll enjoy it. The song is called, You Should Consider Having Sex with a Bearded Man.
That sounds like the best pickup line ever.
I say this to Jaleesa all the time, especially because the last line of the song is, congratulations, you've had sex with a bearded man. So I usually say that when we do sex, and she just gets the shits. But yeah, she's fucking sick of this band. I love them, and of course I find them when they announce that they're quitting.
Breaking up.
When they stop touring. So... Yeah. Beards, if you're listening to this, please get back together just for one show so I can see you. Apparently, if you had a beard, you got in free at their shows.
Fuck yes.
So maybe that's why they broke up, because they just couldn't afford it.
They just had no money left.
Yeah. No, but those are the two songs we're playing for you tonight. Hate from Rebecca Rocha. Give her our love. And You Should Consider Having Sex with a Bearded Man by The Beards. Check them out. Two good Australian acts. Two very different Australian acts.
That's true. You should see Beck's beard. It's amazing.
If you like them, please let us know, and we'll give you their details so you can listen to more of them.
And as always, feel free to write in with any song requests you may have for what's pumping on your iPod, guys. That's let us know.
Yeah, you can be like Beck and put your song up there if you like.
That's true. Yeah. We're here to help everyone.
That's right. But on that note... We are going to cut it off, Benjamin. We've had fun today. We hope you've had fun listening. Before we cut it off, find us at the Facebook page, which is just Horror for Dummies. Find us on Twitter at Horror for Dummy, no S.
It's true, there's only one of me.
Email us at horrorfordummies@hotmail.com. You can find us on the Padded Room iTunes page. Now, I did have a few people asking how to actually listen to us. I made it easier for a few people. If you go to the Horror for Dummies Facebook page and click on the About section, I'll have a link to each one of the episodes. Just make it easy for you. So if you want to listen to a back catalogue of good... I guess they're okay. Good shows, you can listen to them there. And I think that you should because... Well...
It's us.
Yeah.
Exactly. Why would you not want to listen to us?
Exactly.
Come on, team. Sell the product, mate. Jesus.
So on that note, Benjamin, it's been wonderful. But until next time, when we dig into Christmas horror. Yay.
Yeah.
Just remember, you can watch Krampus on Netflix. This is for Australian customers only. Please do so, because we're going to have a big discussion about this film, and it's going to be a fun discussion.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, fuck.
All right, till next time, I've been Tim.
And I have been Ben.
He has. We'll catch you on the flip side.
See you later!
What you've done, I hate what you've done to me, to my love so run. I'm not who I used to be. Look what you've done, I hate what you've done to me, to my trust so run. I'm not who I used to be. I hate what you've done, I hate it. You started back when we dated, started getting frustrated with all the nights that I waited. Told me that you were out with your homie, that I got no need to worry.
to the touch, don't be scared. You got some hair in your mouth. When you kiss him, you get some hair. Stuck in his beard, but you don't care. You say, rub that.